So I'm David, for those that haven't kind of read the bio. So I work at Virgin. I'm responsible for all Virgin Holidays brand marketing and strategy for all the different companies we have in the Virgin Holidays group. I've been there for 4 years. Prior to that, I worked in advertising agencies up in London, so I learned my stock and trade an ad agency that you may have heard about called Saatchi & Saatchi. So that's my stock and trade. I hope, as Angie said, that today, obviously I've worked in big companies, but the principles of what I'm going to talk about today are relevant to everybody in this room, whether or not you're launching your own business, you've launched a business, you work for somebody else. These are basic marketing principles that are relevant to everybody and hopefully are going to be useful for you. When I started writing this, thinking about the title, I wrote down the principles of marketing from Virgin, but I accidentally, when I first wrote it, I wrote the principles of marketing from a Virgin. Now, there's nothing clearly wrong with being a Virgin. In fact, we promote it in the church. It's been a very good thing. But the problem is, you guys are now thinking about something completely different to what I wanted you to think about. And that's when I kind of thought, well, this is so important to get the basics right. When you're communicating, when you're marketing, if you mess things up at the beginning, you're on a bit of a losing ticket. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I hope it's going to be useful. I've been in this for 20 years, and I've got to try and distill 20 years into 20 minutes. So I'm going to go like the clappers. So if you're writing notes, you may not be able to keep up. But what I'm going to four key things I'm going to touch on. First one's just marketing in a nutshell. What on earth is marketing? Then I'm going to talk about branding, brand positioning within that, and then some key killer principles about advertising and communications. And I'm going to end with an emerging trend, which is kind of linked into the essence of the day, which is about doing good business. So those are the four things I'm going to talk about. First one's first, marketing in a nutshell. What on earth is it? Well, to kind of define that, you kind of need to start with, a product and this thing that everybody kind of refers to as a brand. What on earth is a brand? Now, the interesting thing is you ask 100 different people in marketing what a brand is, you get 100 different answers. It's a really intangible thing to try and pin down. But what I've got is just some examples, some statements of what a brand is actually about. A brand is nothing more or less than the promises of value you or your product make. A brand is an anticipated experience. A brand is a promise of something different or better. We'll come and talk about that later. In essence, these things are talking about things that live and breathe beyond just the physical attributes of your product. My favorite expression, though, of what a brand is this. A brand is a big bag of perceptions with a product or service at the core. And we're kind of going to explore this a little bit more, because this big bag of perceptions is absolutely critical about differentiating your product and your service in the marketplace. So how does this all fit together? So what is marketing? This is marketing 101, and forgive me if this is just obvious, but it's really useful to start and make sure we get the basics right, as we've already seen. So what do we start with? Well, if you're launching a business or you're communicating a business, you start with a product or a service. So many of you will have this. So let's call it DAS, for instance, at this point. A product or a service is not a brand, as we've already seen. There's your brand. The brand is the big bag of perceptions that wraps up your product or service. Yeah? And we're going to kind of unpick this a little bit more. You then have what wraps your brand. So this is what it actually looks like. This is what we call mechanical branding. So this is your logo. This is your brand identity. Now, don't get confused, as it's very easy to, that your branding, your corporate identity, is your brand. It kind of isn't. It's just what it looks like, which is really important. And for any designers, Daniel at the back, this is really important. But it isn't your brand. Your brand is what sits in the middle. Your brand is what's in the core, what you stand for. So that's, you've got your product, you've got your brand promise, you've got your mechanical branding. You've then got, what your product says and how you communicate. So what's that? That's what it says. Well, that's advertising, yeah? All of these things combined are marketing. So marketing is all of these is a multifaceted discipline that combines lots of different elements. And it's essentially the delivery of your brand promise to your customer through product delivery, brand behavior, branding, and, forgive my language, kick-ass communications. We'll come and talk about this later about how to do that. But it's, you see, this is a really, and this is why you get a slightly different response and a slightly different view about marketing and brand, depending on who you talk to, because it's not a science, it's an art. Yeah. Why does it matter? Well, fundamentally, right here, right now, in the recession that we're in, there's very, very few markets that are growing. So if you're going to launch your business, or if you're in business, you're in the business of stealing share from your competitors. And that's not a dirty word, that's not a dirty principle, that's basically the nuts and bolts of business right here. What this will do, if you get these basics right, of brand positioning and marketing, they will help you steal share from your competitors. And that's as relevant to Virgin Holidays as it is to a one-man band. Because right here, right now, let me explain where Virgin Holidays is. You can't really read this very well, but that says, the last year, it's felt like we've been in the perfect storm. So we run a long-haul holiday business. So our customers fly to the Caribbean, they fly to Florida, they go on expensive family holidays. Right here, right now, that's a tornado. Do you get it? Whirlwind? We've been in the perfect storm. So we've had, our customers have had stagnant incomes. They've had job insecurity. We're all in the risk of double dip recession. We've got rising flight costs. So we've got fuel costs going up. We've got taxes going up. We've got unsettled destinations. We've got VAT increase back here. We've got the cost of living for all of us is increasing. But quite frankly, the market for £8,000 Caribbean family holidays isn't really that big right now. And that's what we're kind of up against. We've therefore had to go back and go, right, what is it that we stand for? We've gone right back to these principles that I'm going to talk about. And we've gone and said, okay, we've got to get out there and we've got to shout about that as Virgin Holidays to really help steal share in the marketplace. And I'm going to talk you through the examples of how we've done that that hopefully are interesting and relevant to you guys. I'm also going to talk about other examples. I'm not just going to bang on about Virgin and how, you know, brilliant that is. I'm going to use other examples from advertising and other brands to help kind of paint the picture, I suppose. So, everybody with me? Everybody kind of cool? Right then, developing a unique brand positioning. This is critical. This is the foundation of everything. Because if you get this right, everything else will follow in terms of your marketing, your communication, your service promise. As we've already talked about, logos are incredibly important, but that is not your brand. Your brand is what's in the middle. So how do you go about defining that? Well, actually, we use, at Virgin Holidays, we've got six different companies that I'm kind of responsible for in terms of brand strategy. We use a really simple model for all of them, and it's just this. And what we do, we sit down for each brand, and we go, right, we are, and then we write a description of the business. Providing, so I'm obviously in this example I'm using Brand X. I've got printouts of this, guys, for you if you want to take with you at the end. It's quite useful. So that's what the business does. This is what it provides, what it sells. For. And this is a description of the customer. So at their attitudes, their desires. You've then got that are more. And this is how Brand X provides is different and better, and we'll come and talk about this, but this element here of being better is critical. Now, that might sound quite easy to do. It kind of is, but actually there's a load of work that needs to go behind this to really unpick it for you to be able to do it properly and to develop a unique positioning. But once you've done that, you can then summarize it, you wrap it all up in a nice little pithy statement, which is essentially your brand positioning. And from that positioning, everything should follow. So, how do we do that? So I'm going to talk you through how we've done this for Virgin Holidays. Now, interestingly, when you look at this, there's kind of three key areas. The first two boxes, we are, description of what you do and what you sell. This is all about you, as in me, as in Virgin Holidays. So it's all about you. Then you're thinking, okay, well, this is description of the customer. This is all about the customer. Then you go, okay, well, if you're going to talk about how you're better and how you're different, that's all about the competition. So these are the three key areas that you need to understand in order to complete this positioning statement. Yeah, and I'm going to kind of talk through each in turn. So, first one, understanding what you do and what you stand for. So this is all about you. This is the fun stuff because you should be able to. I can't tell you what you stand for and what your business stands for, but I can tell you what Virgin stands for. Virgin has spent 30 years building its brand promise and its values up. And I think most of you would agree that broadly, Virgin is fun. It's good value for money, it's quality, it's all about innovation, it's about competitive challenge. We'll come on to see that in a minute. And it's about brilliant customer service. So this is what Virgin stands for. This is critical. And what different Virgin brands do is they dial up different elements of this when it's kind of relevant to them. But fundamentally, wrap that all up, and what is Virgin all about? Virgin is the consumer champion. That's what Virgin brands do. It's what Richard Branson is brilliant at. He goes into markets and goes, you know what? You've settled. You don't need to settle for that anymore. There's a better way. Yeah? Because we understand you, the customer, we understand this market, we've actually got this over here. And you know what? It's better than that stuff you've kind of put up for ages. And he does that in multiple markets. Every market we go into, we try and do that. And people love us for it. People love the Virgin brand because they're the customer champion. Yeah? So that's the first one. Obviously, again, I can't tell you what you stand for, but this is what we do. You then go, okay, know your competition. So anybody who was in a session earlier, there's complete synergy to what Michael was saying earlier and what I'm saying now. There's a lot of overlap. Knowing your competition, this is critical. Because if you don't know your competition, you're not going to be able to know how you're different and how you need to be better. And this is the critical point. In the 90s, when we were in a more buoyant economic market, you could be just kind of different. Distinction was the key word. In marketing, it was all about standing out from the crowd. And you know what? Kind of profits followed. Nowadays, it's not good enough. Consumers are more discerning than that. And they demand that you're not just different, that you are better. So how do we go about that in Virgin? Well, if anybody's familiar with the Virgin Media campaign right now, so you've got Usain Bolt pretending to be Richard Branson with his little ginger beard. Anybody seen that? Okay, what's the line there? The line is, keep up. Why are they using Usain Bolt? Because it's all about speed. They're basically saying, we're the fastest. Don't settle for those other slower competitors. Come to us. We're better because we're faster. Virgin Atlantic, it's all about the in-flight experience. So everything they do is about making that a more glamorous, more sexy, more fun in-flight experience. More, and it's better than everybody else, and in particular, particularly better than British Airways. So anybody that's kind of familiar with the whole Virgin Atlantic, British Airways kind of tussle that's been going on for nearly 30 years, that's what Virgin's all about. Virgin Atlantic, when they have something, they tell customers about it. You know what? We've got this, and it's better than BA. So in their upper class, they give in the front of their planes, they give those lucky customers a shiatsu massage. British Airways don't. They ran ads like that. Forgive the kind of like, it's just I don't know what you're laughing at. It's just a fact. BA, don't give a shiatsu. So I like Virgin Atlantic more because of that. You know what? It's cheeky, it's fun, it's relevant, but it's competitive. And that's what they're all about. They're saying, we are better than BA because they don't do that. Yeah? And you like Virgin Atlantic more. Come on, you know you do. So that's about knowing the competition. So know yourself, know the competition. Then we're about knowing your customers. And Michael spoke about this earlier on. This is fundamental. Because if you don't know your customers and what's going to turn them on, then you may as well go home. Because you can be all doing the thing that you think is the most important thing in the world, but if it doesn't turn your customers on, then it's pointless. Yeah. So how do you get to know your customers? Well, there's lots of different ways. But you know what? Talk to them. Just talk to your customers. Understand them. Understand what motivates them. Understand what's important to them, which will help you connect with them. Yeah? I'm hoping this is going to go okay. There we go. So what does that mean for Virgin Holidays? Let me talk about how we do that. Well, we found out that, so long haul, we only fly long haul, and they're expensive holidays. And the market for long-haul customers, for people that are going to buy those holidays, is kind of shrinking right now. That means people in the long-haul holiday market, they're in a strong position. It's a buyer's market because they can shop around and every company is going to try and compete to get that business. And we're in exactly the same place with everybody else. Long-haul customers are therefore demanding more. Do you see what I did there? More. For less. It's brilliant. Genius. I'm going to do that again. Hang on. Just in case you didn't get it. Okay. But long-haul customers, so our customers are demanding more. For less. Took hours. So now, we need to understand this. This is critical to our business, because if we're not therefore delivering against what they're wanting and what they're demanding, we may as well pack up and go home. The challenge to Virgin is, because of our 30 years of brand heritage and history, they're kind of, when it comes to us, they expect even more than everybody else. And they kind of want us to have their cake and eat it, which is, in many ways, is brilliant, but in many ways makes it even more difficult to deliver. But you know what? That's our challenge. We need to deliver against their expectations. So they want to have their cake and eat it. There's a cake, or a base of a cake, but not just the cake. They want to have it with lashings of icing sugar, with a big, fat, juicy red cherry on top. And that's what being Virgin is all about. Now, this is my language. Their language is, the base of their cake is, they want good quality holidays, bags of choice, plenty of reassurance and reliability. They want brilliant service and all at a great price. But our customers describe a unique place when it comes to Virgin. They describe something that they call the Virgin difference, which is quite intangible, but it's something better. And in their language, this is their language, so what's our cherry when it comes to Virgin holidays? Sexier, that's it. I didn't write this. Well, I did write it, but I didn't say this. They said this. So the Virgin difference for them is sexier men and women. It's about having more fun, more adventure, and all the extra trimmings. In essence, it's about not what we actually do, it's about how we do it. And that was critical for us in developing our marketing strategy moving forward, because we knew that we realized that we had to behave differently to everybody else. Yeah? So, wrap that all up. We understand what we stand for. We understand our competition. We understand what our customers want from us. This is our positioning statement. So, I'm going to just read it out to you. It's really simple. We are a premium mainstream worldwide holiday company. Premium mainstream basically means kind of like the VW Audi, so it's not Mercedes, but it's not Ford. Yeah? Providing added value worldwide holidays. Added value. That's the extra trimmings that people expect from Virgin. For more demanding holiday makers that want great value and reassurance, but with this twist, with the Virgin difference. And what the holidays that we sell are more intuitive and fresh. That means that basically we understand our customers better than any other company. And we're going to be more intuitive. We're going to deliver stuff to you without you even kind of realizing that you needed it, before you realize that you need it. That's what we're all about. Wrap that all up. So basically into a nice little statement. An intuitive, fresh, and desirable holiday company delivering added value worldwide holidays to more demanding customers who want great value and reassurance with a Virgin twist. That's what we're all about. Now this, you nail that, and everything that your business does, the way it behaves, from your customer service to your reps, our reps out in resort, to the experience you have on the website, to your communications, should all flow from this. Yeah. So, once you've done that, once you've got it, you've understood what your brand positioning is, how the heck do you go from that piece of paper, to brilliant communications and brilliant advertising, essentially? Because the challenge is, when you look at that, there's about 15 different things on there that you could actually say. How do you distill it down to the one? And that's how do you distill it down into brilliant communications? Well, first and foremost, let's talk about what is the role of advertising. The role of communications is fundamentally to make you like me, well, not me, but as a brand, to make the customer like me more, and kind of more than the other guy over there. Yeah, that's what it all boils down to. So every TV ad you see, every poster you see, every radio ad is, to a greater or lesser extent, and they're not all brilliant, but they're trying to do this. They're trying to make a connection with the customer, an emotional connection. When the London Eye launched about 15 years ago, they had real trouble. It was sponsored by British Airways, and they had real trouble erecting the London Eye, and we were stuck kind of over the Thames. Virgin Atlantic took that opportunity to have another dig at British Airways, and they created this hot air balloon, and this sat this hot air balloon over the London Eye, saying British Airways can't get it up. Now, that sat there for 2 days over the city, just having a comical a dig at British Airways. And again, apologies for... This was before my time. I obviously wouldn't have condoned this at all. But you know what? People in London liked Virgin Atlantic better and more than British Airways as a result. It was fun. It was cheeky. It was sexy. It was Virgin. It was being true to their values of what that brand is all about and why people like that brand. Yeah? So this is an example of brilliant advertising that makes a connection with people. How could it be relevant to you? Well, first and foremost, once you've got your positioning statement and you've worked out what it is that you stand for as a brand, you then need to find the truth, the one thing, the main thing that's going to make an emotional connection with your customer. Yeah. So I'm going to get out of the world of Virgin now. So picture the scenes. You're a young couple. You've just got married. You've been kind of living the life of Riley, kind of without kids. You've got your little MX-5 convertible car, and then bam, the kids come along. Okay, so you're going to have to change your car. What is the safest family car to drive? Anybody know? Volvo. How do we know that? Exactly. Okay, Volvo have spent 40 years telling us that they're the safest car to drive. You know what? It's genius. Because when you come to driving and to having a family, and all of a sudden you've got kids, for those that have kids, you know that you're not going to put the kids in the back of the MX-5. You're going to want something safe. All of a sudden, your priorities change. And Volvo absolutely nailed that when they started running ads years and years ago like this. Really simple. As a parent, it gets me right here, because that's exactly what I want to do with my children when I take them in a car, when I wrap them up in cotton wool. It's all about safety. So you understand what I'm trying to say. This is about finding a truth that connects with people. And that truth can be generic. Any car could have said this, to be honest. I mean, Volvo kind of do a bit more boxing, a bit more tank-like, so you kind of believe it a bit more. But it's a truth that matters to me as a parent. Yeah, find that truth for your brand. You then have to say it really single-mindedly. So there's an example here of a brilliant poster that was run. It's over 100 years old for Bovril. I'm just going to show it to you. Brilliant, isn't it? It's genius. There we go. So, Bovril, they weren't banging on about taste or texture or calories or fat content. They basically said, you know what? They use charm and wit and humour to basically say, that's beef in a bottle. That's what it is. I'm really clear about what Bovril is now. Thank you very much for telling me. And actually, you've engaged me with an idea that's quite funny. Rather than just putting it up and putting a pack shot of Bovril and going, you know, it's beefy. You've told me, you've engaged me with an idea. Keep it simple, stupid. Steve, come here, please. Okay, this normally doesn't work. Oh, okay. Oh, God, you caught one. Okay, brilliant. Now, no, it bounced. In fact, you're supposed to drop them all. Okay, now catch that. Okay. So the principle is, you can sit down now, thank you. If you try and shout at people four or five different things really loudly, they're not going to catch any of them. You weren't supposed to catch them, naughty boy. I don't know why I do that. It never works, but you get the principle of it. Throw one ball at somebody, and they've got a chance of catching it. Yeah? That's what that was supposed to highlight. So keep it simple, stupid. This is you've probably heard that before. But it's also really important in your communications to be original. Yeah? If you're original, you're interesting. If you're interesting, you're engaging. If you're engaging, you're the guy at the party that people want to talk to. Yeah? It's about being different and being interesting for people and saying something in an interesting way. So when Coke and Pepsi in the 70s were having their whole taste war going on, it was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Iron Brew launched in Scotland with ads like this. When I'm a burger, I want to be washed down with Iron Brew. They said, forget taste, we're all about attitude. And you know what? That drink became, and still is, the number one drink in Scotland. Okay? Not all my ads, my favourite ads, feature cows, by the way. It's just coincidence. But that's what it's about. You see, I like that brand more because they've talked to me in a different way and they haven't banged on about fizzy content and it's going to make me happy. It's like just saying, look, this is all about attitude, and that's what people liked. You don't always need to feature the product in your advertising. This is a key thing. Like, here's a pen. It's not a pen, but it's a physical pen. We have to show people what the pen looks like. No, you don't have to show people what the pen looks like. They'll work out what the pen looks like. Tell them what the pen does for you. Demonstrate the benefit of that pen to you. We come under pressure the whole time to showcase our destinations. Just show us a beach. Please just show us a beach. Our sales force at Virgin. Please just show the beach. Show the palm tree. That's what people want to buy. No, they don't. It's totally generic. We talk about, this is when Virgin Atlantic launched their routes into the Caribbean. What do you get from that? You get, and this is, you may not be able to see it properly, but these are all the destinations. So like written in the Caribbean, the different islands, written in dreadlocks. It's all about, we fly to the Caribbean. They've just done it differently and engaged people. And now you all know, having seen that, that Virgin fly to the Caribbean. So what does this all mean for Virgin Holidays in terms of our advertising? Well, as I said, we had to find the one thing in here that was most kind of potent and relevant to our customers. They told us that service, they wanted brilliant, brilliant service. But really interestingly, because it's Virgin, they didn't want it delivered with the stuffiness and starch that they associate with five-class service, which they kind of think of. They think of butlers, silver service. They were like, look, we want brilliant service, intuitive. We want it to just happen. We don't want to have to demand stuff, but we want it delivered with a sense of fun and creative flair that sets you apart from the rest. So we had to find a way of talking about service in a way that no other brand could or would. And that's when we came up with the concept of not saying anything at all. Let's see if it... There we go. We get there in the end. Rockstar service. So some of you may have seen this on TV. It's on right now. So we basically came up with the concept of, look, who are the most demanding customers, people on earth? They're rock stars. They get everything without even having to ask for it. Let's use that. That's a brilliant analogy that's kind of linked into rock stars are sexy, they're fun. It's all, they're kind of linked into Virgin, the brand. So we came up with an idea that let's dramatize that and service so brilliant, so intuitive, so fresh, it's even good enough for the most demanding people, rock stars. And we came up with, I'm not going to show it because I'm going to run out of time. Maybe I'll show it at the end if we have 60 seconds. But we came up with the idea of, we created a rock band called the Dunkershans, and we took them on a fictional Virgin holiday. And the whole gag is, the joke is that they think they're getting treated like royalty and rock stars because of who they are. And actually, that's just how Virgin Holidays treats all of its customers. So everybody's in on the gag apart from them. And it's quite funny. Hopefully you'll like it. I'll show it to you at the end. So, that's our advertising. That's what we do. That's how we stand out. No other brand could or would do advertising like that. Yeah. So, when we say one thing and we say it really in a really compelling way, Rockstar Service has become the mantra upon which Virgin Holidays is built, and everything we do is now focused around that. And that was born out of everything, all the principles that we've talked about in terms of the foundation and being really simple-minded and connecting with the audience. Last thing I want to just talk about very quickly is doing good really is good for business. This is an emerging trend that businesses are only just beginning to wake up to. But obviously it's linked into the theme of the day. Richard himself, this is his quote, so doing good can help improve your prospects, your profits and your business, and it can change the world. So he's just written a book called Screw Business as Usual, which is basically saying corporations that just chase after the relentless pursuit of profit with total disregard for everybody and everything is the old world. Consumers don't want that anymore. Corporations and businesses, big and small, need to be far more responsible in how they do business. What does that actually mean? Well, it's about having adequate environmental policies. This may not be so relevant to you if you're a kind of a one-man band, but it's about having well-defined labor relations, a balanced relationship with the community, and honest payment terms. These things are really, really important that customers just expect to happen as standard nowadays. Because for customers now, consumers now, it's about values, not value. And consumers are, you know what, they're pretty cheesed off with big corporations right now. They're cheesed off with the banks, they're cheesed off with big companies who they basically blame for the financial crisis that we're all in, quite rightly. They're basically going, look, that relentless pursuit of profit is not what it's about now. And you businesses, you need to behave far more responsibly in what you do. It's a great quote that came out of this 12 Global Trends in Marketing Week. Trust, authenticity, and values are key to success in 2012, as the dominance of social media means there is nowhere for brands to hide. Have a bad experience with a brand, you used to just tell your group of friends. Have a bad experience with a brand now, you tell everybody on social media, and you know, literally it could be tens of thousands, if not millions of people can get involved in that debate. The demise of the News of the World, principally down to social media. Our brand was involved in that. I know all about it. But that was driven. But that wouldn't have happened 5-10 years ago. It's happening now because consumers are in control. And they're in the driving seat. And brands have to, and companies have to realize that that's a pretty important change. So it's about creating responsible prosperity. So a redefinition of capitalism exists to create a value model that generates both economic and societal benefit. So this is about people don't mind you making money, just make money in a responsible way and give something back and demonstrate what you're giving back, because that's what's critical. Consumers will place unprecedented pressure on corporations to align themselves with their ideals. So get this now and you could be in a really differentiating position, because most corporations haven't quite got this yet. I'm going to have to wrap up. I was going to talk to you about random acts of kindness, but I won't. The end is nigh, my last chart. So this is just summarizing. Brand positioning should be the foundation for any business. Hopefully you've kind of got that message now. Delivering it will help you still share and grow. In order to deliver it, you need to understand what you're all about first and foremost. You've got to understand how you're better than the rest. You've got to get into bed with your customers. You've got to know them inside out and what motivates them, what makes them tick. You've also got to choose the one thing that will make a difference to them in communications and say it in an original and engaging way. Allow your values to drive your business strategy and brand behavior. And that's a key thing. Talk about, take your values, what you stand for, and being responsible, and tell people about it. That's what brands are doing now. And finally, a word from the beardy one, Richard himself, one of his favorite kind of sayings. He is the ultimate entrepreneur. He's set up so many new businesses, created so much value and wealth for himself and for millions of other people around the world through having one attitude that he remains true to the whole time. And it's, you know what? Screw it, just do it. Fortune favors the brave. He says it all the time. And he's like, you know what? Give it a go. You might fail, but ultimately, in the end, you will achieve. And those people that do not take a risk and aren't brave in the way that they do business, aren't brave in talking about what they stand for and the values and being honest, paying people on time, you know, even though you may not have that money in your bank account, you know, it will come back to benefit you eventually. So that mantra is critical for anybody in business, big or small. No time for questions. So, I hope that was useful.